talk for a few minutes about something that almost no one on this earth will want to hear. But I want you to hear it, wherever you are and whoever you are at this moment. Because unless something dramatic happens to you, and accordingly to us as a race of beings, there really is no hope. I want to comment on the murder at Walmart. How many of you know that someone was trampled to death on Black Friday at a Walmart in New York? Yeah, an employee, not a small man, by the way, he was like 6'5 or 6'7, was trampled to death by 2,000 men and women who broke the doors down at 5 o'clock in the morning to get into Walmart. Now, 2 days later, there was a story in the news, and it explained what had happened. They said someone cut into the line. And that'll be the end of the story. In other words, 2,000 people were turned into a ravening, mad mob of individuals with no character whatsoever, only a craving for whatever it was that they wanted to get in the store. And because someone cut in front of them, a wave began to pass through the crowd. The agitation grew to a furor. And at a point where the pressure could no longer be stood because people were pushing and pushing and pushing, the doors gave way underneath the weight. And people flooded into Walmart like one of the plagues from the days of Moses, destroying whatever was in its way. And the answer is because someone cut in front of me. Now, I want you to listen to what I'm going to say because I want you to understand something that, frankly, it may mean quite a bit to you or it may mean nothing. But if it means nothing, it means there's nothing in you that's willing to respond to the truths that I'm going to speak. Because, you see, that's always the answer for us. Someone cut in front of me. I was cruel to my husband. I said that horrible comment to my boss. I broke out in a fight with someone. I fell into a depression. I ate what I did. I started drinking. I did the drugs. I went running around. I spent because, and then we have an answer. Someone did something to me. And that's my excuse. And I want you to understand, if you're willing to do so, that if you want to measure the extent of your spiritual development as a human being, and may God help you to develop as a human being the spirit in you, if you want to measure it, measure the number of excuses you give yourself for the way you are, and you will know how far away you are from becoming a decent man or woman. Because truly decent human beings do not excuse the darkness that compromises them and that crushes life in front of them. So, if we're going to look deeper than this, which we have to do, do you understand? No one says to themselves, you know, today I'm going to get up and examine my life. I'm really going to examine. I'm not going to take simple answers. I'm not going to look for people that agree with me because that makes me feel good. I'm not going to walk into a love fest somewhere where everybody's lying through their teeth about all the care they have for each other when, by the way, they're the very people in the Walmart line. I'm not going to do that anymore. I want to find out for myself. I want to know the gritty details of what it is that has grown in me, in quotes, in everyone that I know, in this human consciousness. I want to know the details. I want to see into it. I want to understand what on earth could happen that would cause 2,000 people to run over another human being to buy a plate, to get a sweater or a set of children's clothes on special sale. And don't think to yourself, well, you know, this doesn't apply to me because I don't go to Walmart. You are Walmart. It's a whole story in itself if I was to go into it, what Walmart represents on the planet. And I'm not saying shop or don't shop there. This actually isn't a commentary on the entity of Walmart. It is a commentary on the consciousness that has created the entity called Walmart and what it is that creates inside of us this unbelievable inability to see where it is that we will continually excuse ourselves for hurting each other, for buying things that we don't need, for using the commodities of this earth, squandering them for a simple set of pleasures that we will throw away within a day, a month, or a year after we have exercised, after we've taken from it what little pleasure it had. So I want to examine this with you, if you're willing to examine it. Are you willing to look at this? First of all, we need a little background. But how many, will you be absolutely honest? How many of you just love what you do every day? It's a joke. You know, I go to work. You know, I stamp out cabinets. I work on numbers for somebody. I do this, I do that. And if you were honest, which you must be, and you are not the exception to the rule, if you want to know why humanity is like it is, it's because you and I are like we are. We are humanity. 95%, and I think it's a generous number, 95% of the things that you buy in stores are made by people who don't want to be making it. That's first of all. So what you're buying is void. Now, I know. See, this is our problem. We say, oh, look, oh, shiny. Shiny, I like. You know, ooh, soft. Ooh, soft. Beautiful. Love this. And there's nothing in the human being that actually recognizes that what he or she has picked up has nothing to do really with their mind's objectification of it. They are seeing what they wanted to see. They are feeling what they wanted to feel. And there is no further relationship to the object they're involved with other than it speaks of me. But it's made with no love. You want to know why people get sick so much today? Because when they make their food, they're negative. You eat food made by negative people, you're going to get sick, even if it takes 20 years to show. Everything is alive. Everything carries with it the energy of what produces it. And everything impacts the individual, the soul, the whole of one's essence, across the board, with no exceptions, when you pick it up. 95% of what we buy made by people who don't like to make it. They don't want to be doing it. So why are they there making that stuff? Why are people there doing what they don't want to do? There's no pleasure in it. 95% of the time, no pleasure in what they're doing. Just, you know, get it done, get it done. Hope it's 5 o'clock, looking at the clock. And then 5 o'clock comes and then you rush home to go shiny. You know, to dream about the next thing you can buy. So why do people spend their lives then doing what they don't want to do? And the answer is, we know what the answer is. I have to. I got to make dough. I have to make money. And that's logical. Seems to make good sense. Is the end of the conversation. Just like cutting into line is the reason that a man was trampled. No, that's not the end of the answer at all. I need to make money. Well, what is this money that I need to make? You have to be a little subtle in your mind now. I'm asking, here I am, I'm spending my life. And you are. I am spending my life in one way or the other for the pursuit of the almighty dollar so that I can have and then fill in the blanks. I can have the comfort, the security, and all the things that I want to have. Even though the things that I buy with my money themselves are intrinsically empty. And whether you realize it or not, when you buy something empty and feed off it, you are emptied, not fulfilled by the purchase. So then what's the money business about? What is this money? What is it the reward for? I'm doing what I'm doing. I don't want to do this, but I'm doing it to get this money. So money is the reward for, and here's the key idea, money is the reward for, and it validates, money validates what I had to do, the life that I had to give up for the one that I wanted. Yes or no? Because if I, you know, what I really wanted to do was grow a little garden someplace. What I really wanted to do was be an artist. What I really wanted to do was be a simple person who helped others. You fill in the blank, even if you can't remember it. What you didn't want to do is be someone who spends their life trying to do nothing but make money at jobs that you wish you weren't doing. So here I am, and the whole thing is this pursuit of money because it validates for me what I had to sacrifice for the sake of that money. Do you understand that? The money that I get doing what I don't want to do validates to me what I had to do, the sacrifice I had to make to get the money. Now, why did I have to get the money? Go back to, well, you know, I wanted to give this, I wanted to do that, I wanted my kids for this, all these things that I wanted to do, because the odds, the object in my mind was that I was going to gradually find a beautiful life. I'd save enough, acquire enough things, and I would come to some way or another this money, and it would validate not only who and what I am, but it would bring me this freedom, this security, this sense of that everything's okay. But the problem is that this freedom that we thought would complete us through the money that we spend our lives trying to get, it doesn't complete us. It doesn't free us. And how do we know it doesn't free us? Because I'm spending my time doing what I don't want to do for a time to come later, in essence. Now, what validates this need that I have for money? Well, we said it was to reach this freedom, but the fact is we can see that money, it can't possibly, I can't be validated through the things that I buy. Now listen, I'm getting to the point of the reason for the murder at Walmart. I can't be validated by the things that I buy. And how do I know I can't be validated by them? Because I always have to buy something else. So what I'm really trying to validate through my possessions, which somehow validate the money, which somehow validates what I have to do to give up everything, what I'm really trying to do is validate myself. I'm trying to validate myself through my possessions, through my powers, through what I've gained for this money. And as I do that, I fail to see that not only am I not validating myself, but listen, I'm actually becoming further and further in the grip of this whole idea that since this didn't do it, I have to get that. And if that didn't do it, then I have to go on to the next thing. So I need to make more money. I need to borrow. I need to get in a situation where I'm not stressed over my money. And I guarantee you that there are people with a lot of money listening to me right now and people with no money, and they are in exactly the same psychological state, which is they have never found validation. They have found victimization through the whole model that believes that somehow or other sacrificing one's life for money will validate the possessions they get when the possessions are powerless to produce real validation of an individual's life. You following me? So that validation is impossible. It's impossible. And what happens when an individual starts to recognize that trying to validate themselves through the things that they can buy doesn't work? What happens? Then you see the beginning, the formation of greed. You see the beginning of fear and greed. And fear and greed are two wings on the same dark bird. And why is greed the outcome, the creation of this impossible validation of oneself through money? Because as I see, I can't validate myself through what I'm doing to validate myself. I must get more and more and more of it because that way I can spend at least a few moments satisfied and pleased at my possessions as I get them. But then I have to get something else. Now to the root of the murder at Walmart. You're looking at a race of human beings who are absolutely terrified that if they can't get what they can afford with the money they have sacrificed their lives to get, that others won't love them, they won't be lovable, and they won't be validated in who and what they are. So they have to. They're just like a mob pushed, pressed to get what they have to get before somebody else gets it. And that's insanity. And the proof of this insanity is evidential. A human being was murdered. Not by, and here's nothing will come of this. Because you can't prosecute human consciousness. You can't find one man or woman in that crowd who maybe actually was videoed stepping on this person and prosecute him. Because it was a movement. It was a rush produced by an order of mind that is so empty of character and goodness and qualities that it lends itself to whatever force is present at the moment in order to temporarily fulfill itself one more time. Because what good, listen to this, because what good is what I've done my whole life if I can't buy and possess the things that validate what I have given up my life for? Because I can't stand what I do. I don't want my life the way it is. So what I do with my money, what I go, where I get, all of those things prove that that sacrifice was indeed a valid sacrifice. It does not validate the sacrifice. It proves that humanity is a victim of its own unconscious nature and will remain so until individuals, you and I, begin to take true responsibility, for seeing what it is to be like what we are in the moment we are that, and little by little begin to question, you know what? All that I have given up for the sake of possessing money has made me mad. And I never saw the madness growing in me because I saw gladness every time I would try to buy something that validates me because of the money I sacrificed my life for. Now, I am not saying to you that money in itself is intrinsically bad. Nothing in this universe is intrinsically good or bad, save for the use of it by the human being that finds or doesn't find within it what they're looking for. I'm telling you that the murder at Walmart is the first in a series of events that you will see as time goes along, where because the fear is growing, the greed grows, and as the greed grows, the fear grows, and you will see more and more stampedes, one way or another. You're seeing it. You're seeing the stampede up to Capitol Hill now, of individuals who have raped this economy, so that they can get more money to validate themselves. Not to save the employees and the rest of the lies that they tell when they're sitting there and packaging a pretty picture called my concern for humanity. It has nothing to do with their concern for humanity, just as there was no concern for humanity in those 2,000 people that lined up and then crushed a human being so they could get their empty little hands on something that would only empty them more.
Hello, I'm Desi Arnaz Jr. You've been listening to best-selling author Guy Finley. To learn more about Guy Finley and his nonprofit Life of Learning Foundation, visit guyfinley.org. That's GUYFINLEY.org. Receive helpful free gifts along with a host of life-changing information. That's guyfinley.org.